Heavenly Father, we look back and thank you for a past year of your goodness and gracious generosity to us. Your faithfulness and your goodness. And Lord, we thank you that you are the same God. We can go forward into a new year in the confidence that you remain the same. And therefore that which we have enjoyed of you in this past year, Lord, we can look forward to even more of that goodness and grace in this new year. And we thank you, Father, that as part of that is the opportunity to meet together to worship you as companies of your people through this city of ours, through this land of ours, and throughout the world. And we thank you for the privilege, we thank you for the freedom, but we take nothing for granted, for we know that in and of ourselves that even coming together each Lord's Day would not be something which is natural. But Lord, it is a work of your grace in our hearts and lives. And so Lord, we thank you for drawing us to this place this morning, drawing us to where you are present. And Father, we pray indeed that there might be a welcomed spirit in our hearts and lives for you this day. Lord, may that be expressed in the hymns that we sing, in the attention to your word, in our prayers. And Lord, that all might be done for your glory. And what we pray for ourselves, Father, pray for Hayes Lane this morning, for the other churches in our association, and indeed those churches throughout our land. Lord, will you be pleased not only to be present, but Lord, to pour out from your treasure store in heaven such blessing that we won't know how to handle it. Lord, build your church. Build us. Do us good this morning. We ask all these things in and through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Philippians and chapter 4. Over the last couple of years, I've been working through this chapter here and going to finish it off today by looking at the end of chapter 4 under the subject of generosity. Something that as we look back over a past year, we give God thanks for his amazing generosity. Something that we can be confident that in the new year, this new year, God will continue to be amazingly generous to us. And the challenge for us is how generous we will be as a result of God's grace in our hearts and lives. So Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read from verse 10 through to verse 20. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things that sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's once more come to prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you gave everything for us in the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, there was nothing more that you could give. And you gave him. And he so willingly gave himself, that all who come to him would not be cast away, that all that turn to him will be seen and received, that all who confess their sins will be forgiven, and all who seek to follow you, Lord, did you come and dwell within them. Father, we thank you that your amazing generosity to us in the Lord Jesus Christ is constant and true, is never removed or taken away from us. And Father, we thank you that we know that until you come to take us to be with yourself, we shall never want for anything. Father, we thank you for the truth of that wonderful fact that you will supply our needs. Lord, we know they are our needs and not our luxuries, not our ambitions. But thank you, Father, that you are such a wonderful, gracious God. We thank you that you make this all possible because you are the all-knowing God. You are the all-powerful God. You are the God who is present everywhere with us. And you see us as we are and as we need. And we thank you this morning. Father, we thank you too for the opportunity that we have to be part of your generosity. Your generosity to a world that is lost and needs to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the generosity of love to each other, to support and to build one another up, to care for one another. Lord, for the generosity to support those in very real need, to support the work of the gospel in this country and in other parts of the world. We pray too, Father, that you will help us to have a generosity in our spirit and attitude towards each other and, Lord, to our neighbour. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for its witness over many years. Father, we pray indeed that all that has been done over the recent weeks in the Christmas time of year might indeed bring a spiritual harvest. Amen. And Lord, that you'll be pleased to continue to work through your people here. Lord, you know their hearts. As we've seen again, you see everything and you see this people's desire to serve you, to honour you and to make the most of every opportunity to share the good news of a great Saviour, a great salvation. Lord, be with them through the outreach activities as they begin again after the Christmas break. Do, Lord, meet with them as they meet for study of your word and for prayer and fellowship. Do continue to equip and to strengthen your people. Amen. And Lord, we pray that you will hear our prayers for their growth spiritually and for their impact into this local community. Father, thank you for others who are worshipping with us this morning. We pray, Father, that you'll be particularly with them. And Lord, thinking that you will bless Mark and Laura. And we pray for the folk at Rochester this morning. And whoever is leading the worship there, that you'll meet with them and pour out a blessing upon that gathering of your people and be with that church through this new year. So pray, Lord, for Bromley too and for the churches in our association. Lord, we're giving thanks today for the work at Gaybridge, and we pray, Father, that you'll continue to be with them. You know they're somewhat frustrated because they'd love their building work to have been completed by now. But we pray, Father, that it may soon will be, and they will be able to move into their new building. And again, Lord, see their heart's desire of you working through and using that place as a seedbed for the gospel. Lord, we pray that you'll hear our prayers for those who are unwell, for those who are sick. Lord, we pray that you will be with that newborn baby. And Lord, but both child and mother might recover quickly from what is always, and particularly in these circumstances, a traumatic experience. Lord, we thank you for every new child that is born, and we covet them as we covet all the young people in this place, that they may become your children above everything else. Do give the parents wisdom as they seek to model Christ, as they seek to share the joy of Christ, as they seek to make him known to their children. Lord, we pray that you will be with those returning to school this week. Lord, some it will be something looking forward to, others not quite so sure. But Lord, be with them as they go back to school, and be with all school teachers. And Lord, for others who be perhaps returning to work after a time of holiday, Lord, do go with them each one. So Lord, be with us now and continue to bless us through our time of worship. Lord, open your word to us and speak to us through it this morning, we pray, for your glory. Amen. Amen. Generosity. I won't ask how generous people have been for you over the Christmas period, but it's a good subject, isn't it? As I said, to be reminded of God's generosity through the last year, his generosity which we can look forward to with a certainty through this new year, and how generous we ought to be as a result. Okay, for the last time, Acts chapter 16 is where we find the background to this young church in Philippi. Talks of those two amazing conversions at either end of the social spectrum, the wealthy lady, business lady, Lydia, and the jailer. We see that not only are they saved, but that God saves those of their households. It doesn't strictly mean family, but those that would have been employees, slaves. And perhaps by the end of Paul and Silas's visit there, others too, having heard the good news proclaimed, and they too being saved, to join together. So by the time that Paul writes this letter, some 3 years on, a small young church is in existence. And it's this young small church which Paul commends for their generosity in supporting him and glorifying God. So as we think back on God's generosity through another year and give thanks to him for his generosity to us as churches, as individuals through Jesus Christ, let's be reminded of these words. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That is God's amazing generosity. He does nothing by halves. He doesn't skimp in his love and mercy. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, admittedly, coming back to this passage, we may be forgiven to think that the context is entirely financial. And for sure, Paul is talking about a financial generosity, but I think that Paul gives a clue that it's not just talking about our finances. We read that elsewhere Paul asks for clothes to be sent to him, for his writings or his parchments to be sent to him. So as Paul gives thanks for the gift that had been given to him, and those gifts time and time again, I think this is a far broader generosity than just that which is financial. Whatever the gift, these young believers were giving to God and to Paul. Paul elsewhere encourages us to be generous, to offer our whole beings as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Romans 12, verse 1. So just how generous were we and will we be in our attitude of hearts and the actions of our lives through last year and through this new year? So what does this generosity look like? Well, we see three C's. It's constant, it's to their credit, and it's made complete. The story is told of a young skateboarder who greeted the pastor after the morning service with his skateboard in hand. "Church was cool this morning, Pastor, especially when the bloke next to me handed me a plate of money." Or perhaps, on a slightly more serious note, a quote from Corrie ten Boom: "I've held many things in my hands, and I've lost them all. But whatever I've placed in God's hands, those I still possess." Generosity. We notice, first of all, that it is constant. The relationship between Paul and the Philippians is deep. In the beginning of chapter 4, he talks about them being his joy and his crown. At the beginning of his letter, he thanks God for them. "In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel." And I guess from the detail that we have, that no more is this being demonstrated than their constant support to Paul. We read here in our passage that even from their early days of their gospel fellowship, they were a church that gave to Paul, supported him time and time again. Their support was constant. It wasn't a one-off gift. Tick the box, move on. They loved Paul, and they followed his missionary endeavor with interest. They understood and heard and knew his needs, and they responded always. It's incredible, isn't it? What a testimony for a group of young Christians from those early days of faith, both while Paul was still in Macedonia. Well, that could be understandable, he was nearby. But then when he moved into Achaia, and then reading here, right up to date, this young group of Christians had constantly been generous in their giving and support to Paul. This is real gospel partnership. It relieved Paul's needs and, as we've read, brings joy to his heart. We know that, don't we? When we receive that card, that email, that telephone call that comes just at that point of need, somehow it seems so special. And Paul was no different in his experience of this generous love and giving of these Christians. It was for Paul something that was beautiful. Remember the occasion of Mary in Bethany coming with that expensive perfume which she pours over Jesus' feet. And Jesus, in answer to some criticism that is given at that moment, says, "What she has done is beautiful." And Paul would echo those words. What these Philippian Christians were doing in their constant generosity was something that was beautiful. It was personal, it was from the heart, and it was responsive. As we look back over this whole chapter, we know it's a chapter that is full of commitment. And our generosity to the Lord and to one another, to the Lord's work, should be wholly committed, should be constant. Now, of course, we're not looking just at the amount. Always reminded of the Lord's words of that widow who just gave just two mites compared to the other, what we would term more generous giving. But the Lord is looking into the heart, and he commends this widow that she gave all that she got. And that was generous. Probably far, far more generous than those who gave a little out of their greatness. Why should we give ourselves constantly to the Lord and to each other? Surely there is no other reason that he gave everything for all eternity to save us and to make us his own. Again, a quote from Corrie ten Boom: "The measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation." Generosity is something that should be constant. It is something also that is put to our credit. In verse 16, Paul introduces banking terms. Commercial banking terms, receiving and giving. The investment value of their giving, that which has been credited to their accounts in verse 17, is not primarily what Paul had received, but the spiritual dividends that they are receiving and will receive. It's a good illustration, isn't it? Giving and receiving. The investment value. Spiritual dividends. Generosity is put as credit into our account. It's interesting that Paul also talks about fruitfulness, but I seek the fruit which increases to your account. It's the same sort of thing. We're building up something which is going to sustain and keep us spiritually, eternally in the Lord. Now we know that fruitfulness should be the evidence of a believer's walk with the Lord. As Paul writes in Ephesians again, live as children as light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. And as we seek to live lives which give credit in our bank account with the Lord, as we seek to live lives which are fruitful, so the Lord pours his fruitfulness into our lives. Again, reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writes, each man should give, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Fantastic words, isn't it? All grace. Grace in and of itself doesn't need the all. But Paul again is just making sure that we've got hold of this vast amount of God's generosity toward us. All grace abound to you. And here it turns around in ourselves. So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. It's a good text just to have for the beginning of a new year by itself, isn't it? So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, why can't we be generous? Why should we not give everything? Because here is a God who is not just topping up our account, but in his surpassing grace is overflowing. It'd been lovely this week, wouldn't it? 2nd of January, first post, open up that brown envelope, HM Revenue, oh no, and then we see a wonderful cheque. Millions of pounds. Wow. We're probably dreaming. But we're not dreaming as far as the Lord's concerned. He promises to give us everything. And in the spirit of his generosity, we should likewise be generous to him, to one another. The testimony is given of someone who was in Bible college, and he noticed that a tractor trailer load of Tropicana orange used to turn up every week at the cafeteria. And he wondered how such a low-cost Bible college could afford so much orange juice. Until one morning in chapel, he listened to the testimony of an old Italian guy who, in broken English, said he'd come to the States in his early 20s as a young teenager with nothing but the clothes that were on his back. And a Christian couple had befriended him, and through their love he'd come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own Saviour and Lord. And one Sunday in church he prayed, Lord, if you give me an idea for business, I will be faithful to give a portion of everything I make back to you. That very morning, the idea of fresh squeezed orange juice popped into his head. And as they say, the rest is history. Anthony Rossi founded the Tropicana Co. and has been faithful to God. I'm not doing a plug here for McDonald's, but if you have the orange juice from McDonald's, you'll get it. Tropicana. All right, you'll get it on the shelves of most supermarkets as well. Look out for it. You buy a product which has been thought up and through his manufacturing system of a Christian. But this guy, Anthony Ross, has been faithful to God. Not 10% of his income, but 50% of his income he gives to the Lord, or gave to the Lord for 60 years. And he also gave truckloads of free OJ to Christian colleges throughout the United States. No wonder so many of our men go to Bible colleges in the States. We now know the reason. But this generosity is placed as credit into their account. But Paul also says that he has received full payment and even more. What a wonderful testimony. And yet he goes on and says, "And I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." Can you remember those words in Romans chapter 12? Living sacrifices, something which is pleasing to God. This has been put into their account, in credit, in God's eyes. It was a generosity which was pleasing to God, which was a fragrant offering, a lovely aroma. As good Grace Baptists, we know that we are sinful, in and of ourselves, impossible to please God. But as those who have received of His grace, we can and we should aim to please God by giving generously of ourselves. So, let me ask you, what's your bank account like in God's bank this morning? Is it in credit? Because of your generosity in serving and loving Him, because He's loved you so much, and because He loves you so much, He's filling your coffers day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Paul makes it clear that this gift was more than an act of sympathy to a friend, but an outpouring of generosity to God in response of Christ's sacrifice for them. The Lord Jesus Christ, we read, as He loved us and gave Himself up for us, He did so as a fragrant offering to His Father. And we should seek to live lives likewise. Generosity which is constant, a generosity which is placed in our credit, and a generosity which is complete. In verse 19, Paul attests to God's faithful care of him, whatever the circumstances. We were looking at that the last time I was here, last summer. Remember that he's writing this letter. He's writing this letter in prison. It's an amazing testimony, isn't it? My God will supply all my needs. Well, get me out of here, Lord. No, at that time. But Paul knew that God was supplying all his needs, even in prison. There was a completeness in God's generosity to Paul and in Paul's understanding of that generosity that he's able to give thanks and praise to God for it. Later on, he says these words, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth." What about this testimony? Testimony of the promise of God to his children found in Revelation chapter 2 verse 9. "I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich." There's a completeness in the understanding of God's generosity. Why is this complete? Because the source and confidence is in our Creator and sustaining all-powerful God. He is able to supply all our needs. He is able to meet all our service requirements, our loving for one another. He is all-knowing and all-loving to meet and supply all our needs. And as we've seen as before, not as it were out of some millionaire's vast bank account, just a trifling sum, but rather in proportion to his vast treasure store that is found in Christ. Romans 8:32. Wonderful verses, I hope that you see right at the beginning of this new year. He who did not spare his own son, how will he not also graciously give us all things? See, that little three-letter word, all, which we saw just a few minutes ago, is completeness, isn't it? If we have all, we don't need anything else. It's complete. And time again, the Lord says he gives us all we need. He's done so through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done so through his Spirit. He's done so through his Word. He's done so through putting us together in local congregations of his people. And he does every day of our lives. His generosity to us is complete. How complete is our generosity? We see a glimpse of Paul's understanding again, don't we, as he gives that wonderful testimony, personal testimony of God's faithfulness and generosity to him in verse 19. How he breaks out in a doxology of praise in verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. From the constant generosity of our giving to the constant forever and ever praise to God, the believer's life is total commitment. Paul says, amen. So be it. The spontaneous outpouring of worship from lives touched by the full knowledge of God's generous grace. Constant, credit, complete. Our generosity, however expressed, will reflect our personal understanding and knowledge of God's amazing grace in our lives. The story is told about a farmer who called the office of the minister asking to see the head hog. The receptionist said, "Sir, if you're talking about our beloved minister, you may call him reverend or pastor, but I don't think it would be proper to refer to him as the head hog." "Well, all right," said the farmer. "I just sold a few sows and was going to donate $10,000 to the building fund. So I was hoping to catch him." "Oh, just a minute, sir," the receptionist said. "I think the little porker has just come in." What a change. Was that going to be the safety net to relieve the pastor of an unwanted telephone call? But as soon as a sum of money is mentioned, a change of heart. It may be that as we think of God's amazing generosity to us in Christ, it will require a change of heart. In fact, I'm pretty sure that if you're no different to me, that it does require constantly a change of heart. For the more I know an understanding of how much that all that God has given to me, that should impact my life, my service for the Lord and for God's people. A little porker or a fantastic saviour and a great salvation? How well do we know God's amazing generosity? How generous will we be to him and to each other in 2015 as a result? Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.